Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right. We have a few people that love God here this morning. Amen. Good, good. We're alive. That's good. And we need to get some rest as we travel, but we're excited about what God is doing, and we're excited about helping the community. We're excited about many things that are to come and that we have an opportunity to do. And God's going to put it all together, because one of us doesn't have it all figured out. But when we work in unity together, God just puts it together, and that's exciting. I've seen him do that over and over, so I know that he's putting something great together. You know, the whole year we've been talking about keeping Jesus close to us. It's so important. It's so important to keep Jesus close in your prayer life, in your Bible reading, and just going to church and making sure that you keep Jesus in your life. You keep learning more and more about his ways, because nobody knows all the answers. But step by step, day by day, as you continue to seek more of God and keep him close, then things begin to happen. And you begin to see things differently. Many of you know that when you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you thought one way. And now you're on a journey and you don't think the same way anymore, because you want to please God. And that's good, because he's changed us. And this summer we've been talking about setting things right according to God's word. And in our lives, and make sure we set things right, and that God's not interested in so much style as he is in the substance of who you are. Are you real? Do you just go through the motions, or do you pray? Do you read? Do you do things to get close to God when you're not asked, or not because of routine, or because you feel you better do something, or else you don't want to go to hell? You know, that kind of, you know, is it? Are you past that point where you're doing things for God because it's just who you are? And not because you got to do certain things to avoid something, avoid hell, or avoid this. And so I want to make sure that as we go through the summer and we set things right in our lives, that we continue to ask ourselves that question in our hearts. Are we substance? Are we real? And last week we studied the importance about leaving Egypt. Leaving Egypt, because Egypt represented a place of slavery. Egypt represented a place of bondage, a place of that God did not want them to be. And every one of us, when we get saved, God begins to tweak us, to move into a place, or away from a place that God doesn't want us to be. And it's important to leave Egypt as you grow in the Lord. It's important to recognize in your home some things that you need to fix, some things that don't line up with God's word that you need to set right. And that's so important. So that's what I believe this summer has been about for us as a church, is set things right. Because when we begin to set things right according to God's word, then God begins to set things right according to the kingdom of God in our lives, in your life. And that's what's exciting, because he does do amazing things. And we see it over and over. And the Bible tells us that we're all a temple. A temple. And we know that in the Old Testament, the glory of God used to fill that temple. And now we're the temple. And you know that God wants to fill you with him, with his glory, with who he is, with his character, with more of him. He wants to fill you. He really does. Because when that happens, you make a difference in the kingdom of God. You begin to impact other people. And you may be thinking, well, you know, it's good for somebody else to be filled with that glory, but not me. I mean, I'm not there yet. You know, a lot of times we think, and the enemy will make us feel like we have to earn some kind of a level of righteousness, or a level of good, that if we reach that level, then maybe I can have God fill me with his glory. That's not the way it works, because we serve a merciful God and a loving God and a forgiving God. Don't ever let the enemy tell you that you're not worthy to be filled, because when you're saved, the Bible says that it's not your righteousness, it's Jesus Christ's righteousness that lives in you. Amen. And because of that, you are worthy to be filled with God's glory. And so don't ever think of yourself, you know, the Bible says don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, which is true. Some people think they're, you know, highly of themselves spiritually, But the opposite is true too. Don't shun what God can do with your life. That you can be used in an amazing way. And the decision is about our hearts, the motive of our hearts. That's what determines how you're going to grow in the Lord, is your attitude towards growing in the Lord. So he wants to fill you, your glorious temple. You are the temple. He wants to fill you with his glory. And the answer is easier than you may think. You don't have to go prove anything to anybody. You don't have to recite all the scriptures, read the Bible 20 times. Read your Bible, but that's not it. It's not the action. The answer is just be you. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to earn it. Just be you. You are wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully made, perfect, amen, according to the plan that he has for your life. You don't have to change that. God already knows who you are. He created you. Just be you. Don't try to be someone else. You plus God's plan for your life, it's a beautiful masterpiece. It really is. It doesn't matter what the world says our intelligent level is. It doesn't matter what the world says about anything. All that matters is God created you for a purpose and a reason. Be you. Just be you. You don't have to impress anybody. You don't have to figure it all out. Just be you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4:18 in your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 4:18. If you have something to write with or something to jot a note down, I encourage you to do that. Jot a thought down, jot a note down, because God has a plan for you. And we have to listen to God's word in order to go down that journey. So important not to try to be someone else. It's so important not to try to make yourself out more spiritual and try to get people to know that you are. Just live it. It will bleed through you that you are God's children. Just live it. Just be you. You know, one thing that I heard a long time ago that I repeat, and it's been true in my life, is that when God changes you, from you get saved and you begin to live for God, you know, he doesn't change your personality. It doesn't work. Try to change your personality. That doesn't work. You are made the way you're made. But he changes your heart. And he uses that changed heart with that awesome personality that you have to change the world. And so you don't have to change your personality, who you are. If you like to talk a lot, God will use you. You don't have to not talk. You know, sometimes he'll tell you not to talk, but that's okay. And if you're more outgoing, he'll use that. If you're more shy, he'll use that. You'll just go to talk to another shy person. And you minister to them. I mean, he'll use you however you are. You don't have to change who you are. You're wonderfully made. Just let God change your heart. Because you're beautifully a beautiful masterpiece being transformed to greatness. Don't look with your eyes. Your eyes deceive you. What you see in the physical, it's just what it is. It's not always real. You see all these things on TV, and you know they're all made up. They're acting. You know, you start crying, they're acting. Right? But it seems so real. Don't go with what you see with your eyes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When God looks at us, God does not see what we see with our physical eyes. He's not looking at you right now and say, oh, you know, teenagers as they're growing up, oh, I got a pimple. Oh, you know, and that's the whole concern. Oh, my, I can't believe it. I'm supposed to be here on this day and I can't, the end of the world, right? But God does not see what we see with our eyes. Right now you look around this room and you see people. Some are smiling, some are yawning. It's okay. I know I'm boring. You don't have to hide that from me. I am who I am. You'll see all different kinds of faces. But we can't see down in deep in the heart. But that's what God sees. And as you start growing in the Lord and you start noticing that, you know, I'm not going to go with what I just saw. I'm going to go with what I see a life, what they're doing, how they're living, what's the substance. And that's what God sees. He sees what's in your heart. And in this scripture, it tells us the things that you see are temporary, but the things that you cannot see are eternal. We are so busy in this world. We are trained. Everything is about presenting what people see. And God, not so much. God is all about in here. What's going on in your heart? Are you surrendering to Him? Are you a person of substance? Are you reading your Bible, praying, seeking Him, intentionally walking to grow? And when you have a hard day or a hard week, are you going to Him and saying, Lord, I had a hard week and I'm crying, but at the end of the day, I'm going to trust You, Lord, and just be a person of substance, having faith that all is well in God's children. You see, there is an attitude, a motive of the heart that God sees. God sees the things that man can't see. He sees down deep in your heart. I don't know if you've noticed, but every day that goes by, you're getting closer and closer to a physical death. Oh, I'm sorry, I had to break that to you. We're dying. What you see with your eyes is dying. Right? You know, I was watching TV and I saw this little workout thing and called Swerk It. So if you have an app, you want to work out for 5 minutes, because that's all the time I have. I can do 5 minutes. Let me do that. Well, I ordered it. So me and Casey were swerking it out. And Sarah says I'm not supposed to use the word swerk it. I don't know why, but. So we're working out, you know, touch your toes, real simple. You don't need anything, you know, just simple. Touch your toes, move your arms, run in place, stuff like that. And we're dying. I'm dying. Alyssa's watching us and she's laughing at us and thinking that we're joking. It's like, there's no way you're tired for doing that. So she's laughing at us. And I came to realize that I am very out of shape, and it is true. I am getting closer and closer to a physical death. And I was so tired, 5 minutes. I could not believe how out of shape I was. But try it, 5 minutes, you'll see how out of shape you are. But that's what's happening to all of us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, just a few verses back in the same chapter that you're in, 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Amen. I find this to be so true. Yes, we're growing older or out of shape or whatever the case may be. But the Bible says that as your outward man grows and perishes, your inward man is renewed day by day. So actually, your physical body and your spiritual body are headed in two different directions. Amen? Amen? And I thought about that, and I said, that's good. So I can't work out for 5 minutes. But I know I feel God's presence. I know that God is with me. I know that He's perfecting me. I know that one day when I do die or we leave this earth, that I'm going to go and we're going to go stand before God, and He's going to say those words that we're all wanting Him to hear from our loving Heavenly Father. Well done, good and faithful servant. That inward, that's what God sees, what's in here, what you're doing every day, the decisions that you make that don't line up with this word. Let Him take that. Let Him take it. Be renewed inwardly every day. Continue to grow. Continue to seek more of Him. And you can do it by just being you. You don't have to go get an education. You don't have to go and memorize every single word of the Bible. You just have to be you and let Him surrender. Let Him use your personality for greatness. Just be you. Our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. When we read God's word honestly, we read these things in God's words. We're not supposed to lie. We're not supposed to steal. Don't be selfish. Don't be jealous. Don't be getting drunk and losing your wits. And don't have other gods before Him. And don't be angry to the point of sin. And don't be lukewarm about your relationship with God. And don't have intimacy outside of marriage. And we teach all of these things because the Bible tells us what these things. These are truths in Scripture that reveal the motives of our heart. When we hear these and when we read this in Scripture, what does our heart say? Does our heart say, well, nobody's perfect? Justification and excuses? Or does our heart say, Lord, empower me in that area of my life that I may overcome? That's an honest assessment of your heart. What are you? Who are you? Are you a person of substance? Are you a person who's made a decision that no matter what, I may want that or I may crave that, but I crave even more to line up with God's word. And when we do that, He will open the Red Sea. You saw in the Old Testament amazing things that He did. He provided manna. He provided food when they were in the desert. We read that scripture last week. He'll start doing that for you. But God sees the inside of your heart. Man sees the outside. There's a lot of people in church, filling church today on Sunday, all across this nation. And they're going to church because they want a checklist that says, I went to church. But the motives of their heart are not following God, not setting things right before the Lord. There's a scripture about that. And Jesus said, when the man said, I've done this for your name. And Jesus says, get away from me. I don't know who you are. See, God sees your heart. And He wants you to just be you. And He wants you to surrender your will to His will. And the masterpiece is awesome. Do you know that? Do you believe that? For you, do you see that? Amen. And yes, there's struggles, and yes, there's battles, and yes, your spouse gets you angry every once in a while, and yes, that's life. But at the end of the day, this world is not our home. Amen? Amen? We're passing by on a journey, and God has called you. And the Bible says that His calling is without repentance. You can't go change the call. You can't. And the devil will lie to you like this, that you've done so bad that you can't get back on track. That's not true. God welcomes us with mercy and grace and open arms. And the perfect story for that is this. You know, Paul, the murderer, how could he fulfill God's plan after he did everything that he did? Because God's calling is without repentance. He's waiting for us like the prodigal son story with open arms to give us His best when we repent. It's a lie of the devil that you can only go so far with God and you'll never be a leader or you'll never. It's a lie because we see it in Scripture over and over. And Peter, and I was talking to a friend about this during lunch this week. Peter, you know, can you imagine if you were in Iraq or in one of these places and they put you gun to your head and they say deny Christ and whatever, you know how they do all that over there. And let's say you didn't have the strength and you just denied Christ and you said no, and then you come back and you probably come back and you would think like, I can't be a Christian anymore, right? But you know, even that's a lie. Because Peter did exactly that. There was, in a sense, a gun to his head. And they said, Peter, you know Jesus, the one they're going to crucify, don't you? And he said, no, I don't know him. And then he said again, three times he denied Christ. And yet Peter was the rock of the church. You see, that the enemy is lying to us that we've gone too bad or we've done too much. The prodigal son was welcomed and it was given, the best was given. And when we repent, God will welcome us. And the call of God in your life is without repentance. If you are called to be a leader for God's kingdom and to start to get in the front lines, it's not an easy thing to do, by the way, but it is definitely rewarding to be where God has called you to be. Because you'll never be at peace until you're there. And God is calling some of you, and you may be thinking, well, I've done too much. And God is saying this morning, just be you, repent. Just be you and believe that you are a foundation. You are a temple, and I want to pour my glory through you, no matter what you've done. See, that's God. That's God. He loves us. And He loves us so much. Just be you. God doesn't see what's on the outside. Stop trying to make people think you're a strong Christian. Stop trying. Just be it. And you've got areas in your life that you're struggling to be faithful in and God's, according to God's word. Just be honest with God about that. You don't have to overcome on your own. You just got to go to God and say, Lord, I give it to you. You help me overcome. You empower me to overcome. You fill me with your glory, Lord. This is truth of God's word. He doesn't look at the outward. He looks at the inward. This is truth of God's word. We're all called to be great in His kingdom, a masterpiece. Just be you. You know, when God called Moses, Moses' first reaction was very much like the rest of us. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Well, nobody's perfect, or this or that. But Moses, if God would have told Moses on that day when he was making excuses, Moses, you're going to go and lead the people and you're going to cross the Red Sea. I'm going to open the sea and you're going to cross it and I'm going to provide manna in the desert. And he would have been like, no. But you know, God kind of just opened the little pieces of the plan to Moses. As he was in those situations. First he said, go to Pharaoh. And he did. Then he said, take my people out. And he did. Then he's in the front of the Red Sea and he says, open it. And he did. Then he's in the desert with no food. Here's the manna. Then they have no water. And here's the water. You see, it's a beautiful... God does this in your life. He's doing this in your life. You don't know what that big picture is. But just trust Him. He will provide. He will provide. He does. He's a good God. He's so good. My desire is for everyone in this church is that you're growing inwardly. Not growing in what words to say so that people can think that you're all right. But inwardly. And no one can see that with their eyes. But people will begin to see the substance of who you are in what you're producing. Amen? God does not look at the outward. Looks at the inward. If you'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to end with that story of David. Because it's very, very relevant to just being you. 1 Samuel chapter 32, verse 51. 1 Samuel. I didn't mark it, so now I gotta. There it is. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32, one of our Bible stories that we will go, that the kids will surely cover. We know the story, and Goliath is threatening the children of Israel. And David stands up and says, I'll do it. He was a teenager. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Me, little David, will go and fight with a big giant Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou'rt not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are very small and very young, and he, Goliath, has been a man of war since his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant, David, I kept my father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and I took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose again, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised giant shall be as one of them. Because, not because I'm good, because he hath defied the armies of the living God. So can you just picture little David, and everybody was scared to face this giant. And little David comes to the king and says, I'll do it. And the king says, no, I don't think so. You're small. He's a man of war. And then David's doing his little lawyer case now. Look, I got evidence here. I got evidence to put before you. A lion came to me, and I beat it up and killed it. And same thing happened with the bear. And I have some history here. But yet, it was God that delivered them, and the same God that delivered me from there. And I'm sure Saul was thinking, wow, this little kid's going to die in this little ignorance that he's in. And David said, moreover, and this is the convincing part. This is the it that if it's going to convince Saul. This is it. He says, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord will be with you. It's so important that we put ourselves, being in church or at home reading or whatever, it's very important that you put yourselves in situations to have an opportunity to experience God. Because as you do that, your faith will grow. What happened with David is that he was out there praying and reading the laws of Moses, and he was out there just doing his thing and growing inwardly. Outwardly, everybody thought he was just a little insignificant person. But inwardly, he was a giant in faith. And he came and he saw something. He could see things that other people could not see, because he began to see how God was moving, because he was putting himself in places to experience God. So I encourage you this morning, you always put yourself in a place where you can experience more of God. Whether it's listening to the radio on your car, Christian radio, Christian music that elevates the name of Jesus. Put yourself in those scenarios. And how many times have you driven home and you hear a song and you may even go to tears, or it may hit you and you're like, I needed that. Because you're putting yourself in a place where you can experience God. See, that's being intentional. That's growing in the Lord. And so here Saul says, okay, you go. Verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet on him and a coat on him. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. You know, David did not feel comfortable wearing Saul's armor. Probably didn't fit him to start. But he was not comfortable getting in front of Goliath and trying to portray something that he was not. David was not a physical man of war at this point in the story. But Saul was trying to at least, I can't send him in sandals and just and say this represents Israel. It won't look good for me. I'm king. So he wanted to at least dress him up a little bit so that the people seeing him could believe there was a chance. You see, but we've already read, God doesn't look at the outward appearance. Saul was worried about the outward appearance. David was just like, look, I need to be just as I am. I need to just be me. Because I know how me and God work. I don't know how me and the armor and God work. See, don't try to be something that you're not. Just be you. Surrender and just be you. Don't try to put on something that you're not. God can do it just fine. You and Him, He can do it just fine. Amen? He can do it just fine. So David takes everything off, and verse 40, and he took his staff and his hands, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag and he in a sling, and there he was. I'm sure he had sandals, no armor, a sling, some stones, and it was just him and God, because that's what he knew. That was his talent. That's who he was. That was the skill that God had given him. See, you don't have to try to be something else. God's given you strengths and abilities. You just use them for the kingdom of God. And so he goes in verse 41, and the Philistine came and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked out and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and he was ruddy and fair countenance. And basically he was like, yeah, you're cute. Right? And there's a giant. And it didn't look very fair. It was like a giant. And David looked so small. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the fields. And David responded, and with the words that we love to quote. And David said to the Philistine, you come with me with physical, and I come with you with spiritual. And that's what he says. You come with me with sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You see, David was just coming. I'm just going to be me. I'm coming to you in the power of God, and God's going to take care of the rest. David's outward appearance looked weak, but his inward appearance was God strong. Every one of us needs to believe the same concept applies to us. We don't have to impress people with our outward appearance. Just be you, and God strong inside of you will bring you victory in your life. Amen? And when we begin to have this faith that David had, I will just be me and let God do the rest. That's what he's looking for. We set things right. We become people of substance, and we just come as we are, and he'll do the rest. Just be you. And we know the story. Verse 51, or verse, I'll go to 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and he drew nigh to David. David hasted and he ran toward the army of the Philistines. And David put his hand in his bag and he took a stone and he slang it. And the Philistine was hit in the forehead and the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell. And David prevailed over the Philistine and with the sling and the stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in David's hand, so he ran into the Philistine, and he took his sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head with it. And the Philistines saw their champion was dead. They fled. And the men of Israel of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistine and pursued the and they came to the valley of Ekron. And you know the rest of the story, and they celebrate that day. Just be you. Just be you. Just as you are, come to Him. Amen. It's not too late. You haven't sinned so bad. The cross did a powerful thing. And the resurrection of Jesus, it defeated sin and death. And we all, finding Jesus, have access to this power. But just be you. All you need is you and God. That's all you need. I'm going to play a video real quick as Michelle gets ready and prepared for some music after the video. Victoria, do you have that ready to go? Let's just kind of just be in the attitude of prayer and watch this together.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come. Of God I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as God.
Bow our heads, close our eyes. Michelle gets ready to lead us. Just be you. Just you, this word, the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's all you need. Maybe you've come today and heard a word, and maybe you need to respond to that word. Just be you. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask us to stand. And by standing, we're saying this. We're saying that we're not going to try to be somebody else. We're just going to come to God and surrender all and live according to this word. And let God do the rest. Just be you. Your sins, the things that you've done in your life that you think are too bad, we see through Scripture, we see that God is a merciful God and He loves us. And the enemy is a liar. The calling of God in your life is still there. Walk in it. When I ask you to stand in a few, just count to three and stand. And if you this morning want to do more than stand, and you just want to come to the altar and say, I need to get my life right with God. I need those sins, those things. I need to just trust God that the deal is still on, that my calling is still there. You need to just let God know that you're going to let Him forgive you of your sins, and you're going to go forward and answer that call. So as everyone stands, if you want to take the extra step and say, I don't want to just stand. I want to publicly proclaim that I'm letting it go. I'm going to be me. I'm going to let God do the take over my life. And you can come to the altar. But let's do that. Let's all stand. 1, 2, 3.